download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And we want to thank Richard Rosen for being our very first guest, but still going to be sitting here and chatting. And now we turn our attention to the three gentlemen who are with the Brockton City Council. And next Monday night, big night. It's the time that you kind of tweak things as the City Council. I'm sure the Council President is looking forward to that. Bob, what are we looking at now? Have you had a chance to see what the mayor has? This is going to be his first budget.
Yeah, that's right, Kevin. And first of all, thanks for letting us come on the show tonight. And
sure.
We received last Tuesday the mayor's budget from the CFO, Jay Condon. So we've had the books since Tuesday. As a City Council President, I've called. First, we're going to have a public hearing on 6 o'clock on Monday night, the 9th,
yeah.
Followed by 6:30 budget hearings. It will be the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. If we need that fourth night, we will. In the past, as my colleagues, when they served as president, both Dennis is here, and they did it well, I might say that. We usually can get it get it up and down in the three nights, but, you know, it's tight. The budget is tight, Kevin, and, you know, I know Dennis are going to pipe in on it, but
yep.
You know, $375 million budget for the city of Brockton, you know, one of the largest cities in the Commonwealth, but at the end of the day, it's tough financial times everywhere, so we need to scrutinize every penny and make sure that every cent that's line item is accounted for and it's justified, and we'll take a hard look and we'll vet it out.
All right. Well, I gotta ask, probably the main story that we've been seeing all week is the school budget. The school budget is the one right now that seems as though it's not balanced, and that there are going to be cuts, that they were reduction in force notices that were sent out mid-May to let go nearly 200 teachers, and then late last week, the 73 pink slips went out in regards to, non-teachers, custodians and craftsmen and stuff like that. Give me your thought. Is there anything that the City Council can do in this regard?
I guess I'll be the one to chime in on that one.
Being
since
a gentleman who was
20
on the
years
committee?
Of school committee experience,
right.
My colleagues love it when I talk about that. I might add too. But in any case, you've got to remember as well that those notices that went out to teachers and even to non-teaching staff, it's all based upon the contract. It's all contractual. It's not to say that some of those would not be hired back, because that's not true. They could be at
right.
this point. They have to give those notices out to make sure that, you know, everybody's well aware of the situation that they're in. Not that they haven't done so in past years, but I would probably say this upcoming fiscal year, the new fiscal year that we'll be going into for 2015, is probably a little bit different from what they've had in the last few years. It's a tough, tight budget. And as we all know, and my colleagues know, we're already beginning to feel some of, and I don't call it pressure, because it's all part of the process, but in some cases, some councils may call it a little bit of pressure, because when it becomes an issue within a department, keep in mind the school department is a department. It's one of the largest departments, but, you know, at this point they feel like they're being taken in a different direction and you need to help us. Well, every department needs help in some such way. We're going to hear that in the next few weeks in regards to, you know, their situation. But also keep in mind that a lot of their reduction is caused from federal and state programs. You know, and this isn't
Title
something
I.
that's Title I. Title
Race
I, exactly.
To the top. Gone.
Exactly. I mean,
can't replace that money.
And not to know that they probably were feeling that pinch maybe a year or two ago, but didn't really prepare themselves for it as well. I'm not going to say that they did, because I'm not on that side.
Mm-hmm.
I only just appropriate funds to run a city.
Right.
I don't.
As a city council, you guys can't put money according to the charter. Basically, you're giving a little one of those little knives when you do models.
Exactly.
And
you
make
exactly.
the cuts.
Exactly.
Little,
exactly.
What do they call those little knives
and
called?
And in saying that, Kevin, I mean, over the last several years, we've probably been, and my colleagues will I think they'll stand behind me, we've been modest to the school department in any such way of making sure that we didn't make much reduction there. Am I correct?
In the last 2 years, we've only cut $100,000.
$1,000, you know. And again, you're right. We can't you know, add anything to it. We can only take from the bottom line, and we've never really saw any way that we had to really dive in and make any severe cuts, you know, to the school system. So this year is a little different from them, and we'll be hearing a lot, you know, in regards to it, especially when the budget hearing begins next week.
I guess I would ask you, the one thing that we've heard over the past couple of years is the taxpayers, whether it's people who have businesses. No, that's not something that you would do now, but the mayor could spend up to the 2.5 levy if he chose to do. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, when you're running a campaign that you're not going to raise taxes, what do you do?
Right, and I think that's what you'll find that he's done in preparing for this particular budget, is he's not using up to that level as it was done in a couple of the past previous years. So at this point in time, I mean, it's his way. It's definitely, you know, his way to find other areas and other avenues to try to bring in some revenues and how we can at least balance the budget. And I think there's probably a couple other thoughts that some people may have in regards to, you know, maybe water rate increases could be something that could be coming across the table.
Hey, and I get that right here on my list.
I knew you probably would, you know. I knew you probably did. But
My job's to have my ears to the ground is the one.
But in any case, we're not at that particular level, and that's what he chose based upon just what you said. I mean, you know, he did run on the fact that I'm going to, you know, decrease your tax, and that's how he's doing it. So it's still that comes with a cost as well, and that's what we have to look at.
I don't know if you received the email that I received from the state. The state is going to reorganize the whole real estate market this year for 2014-15. It's not supposed to be done until the end of the year. So what they're going to do is they're going to reassess all 351 cities and towns. They're going to give money back to the cities and towns without raising taxes. But it's another way around it,
right?
Because the mayor said he's going to hold the line on the taxes and not increase. But if the state reorganizes the revaluation in the state, it's going back to January 1st. So that means if your house has increased 10 or 15% this year,
right,
you will get an increase in your taxes because it's built in to the state. And Mr. Rosen knows about this, you know, because he's in the real estate business. And I just received that email the other day from the state.
One thing, Kevin, I think we have to talk about is, I mean, one of our duties, fiduciary duties as the city council is, again, we're really the keepers of the financial component of the city of Brockton. So again, when we're talking about people getting pink slip, we're talking about people's livelihoods, people that have kids, mortgages. I mean, this is serious, and we treat it seriously. And, you know, we've been joined this year by 3 new members of the city council. I know they're going through the books right now. I've talked to them, and, you know, this is going to be a serious budget. But we also have to think about sustainability. You know, cost containment and fiscal responsibility are key. But at the
huge
end of the day, you know, we're talking about this budget, and then we have to look forward. And the forecast isn't that bright, you know. So we need to be able to think outside the box. You know, I know the mayor did campaign on not raising taxes, and that's $3 million that's not on the table because of that. And that's him. He's the administrator, the CEO of the city of Brockton. You know, we're the legislative body, but at the end of the day, we can make cuts. But you hit it on the head. We can't earmark. So we can't cut from schools to give to the police or vice versa. When we make a cut, it goes into the general fund, and then the administrator, the mayor, Mayor Carpenter, can decide where to disperse those funds.
Rich?
You know, I don't even want to talk about water in the city of Brockton. I own a couple of buildings in Brockton, and one of my buildings was caught up in that water meter fiasco that you had, and it literally was one of the worst experiences I've ever gone through in my life in the real estate business, trying to deal with people in the city of Brockton, and it cost me thousands of dollars, and it was horrible. But that set aside, I'm kind of curious what the mayor has done with the public safety budget. Specifically, what was the budget for the police department, and what is he asking for? If you know offhand.
Have you had a chance to study the books, or are you guys still looking? You haven't gotten them yet?
I haven't got that far, to be truthful with you, and I'm not too sure just, you know, what the police department budget looks at it for the next fiscal year. I'll have some concerns about it because the new interim chief has done some different things that I have some questions about, where the money even came from right now, and how we've gotten it, how we're getting it done through the rest of this fiscal year, to be truthful with you. So, yeah, you're going to see some type of an increase there. And don't forget, you know, both levies over there received new contracts, so that's going to change and drive that to go in a different direction, as well as some of the programs that he's looking at, you know, instituting as well.
One of the things that we're doing here in the city of Brockton right now, and again, the mayor chooses to do it, and he can do that, is we're drawing a lot from the stabilization to fund collective bargaining contracts. Our stabilization is down to $2 million. That's not a lot of money at all.
We're talking about
a $375 million budget.
But you had to fund the new police contract, right?
Yeah, we did.
Police and
fire. And, you know, there's other unions that are sitting at the table right now. So we're not privy to collective bargaining. We don't do that as the city council. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to authorize and appropriate funds. And again, we honor and respect the contract when it's made in good faith. But again, it's tough times. So, I mean, and we have to look at every penny.
Stabilization account, believe it or not, when I became counselor in 2004, had about $16.8 million. Yep. And look what we're down. And we did over some years when some monies came back, we would put money into the stabilization, but not by big chunks, maybe a million or 2 million or something, just to bring it back up. But Councilor Sullivan's right.
You're right, Dennis. Look at the winter.
We have
the deficit spend right now,
DOR.
We have to pay that back this year coming up. So.
And previous mayors also drained it down when there was some type of a contract. And when you're doing that, you're bringing it right down to, you know, to a bone level. Mm-hmm. So it's not much, really, I mean, for a city our size. I mean, we should have much more, but that's something we have to deal with.
We had talked about crime, and this somebody had called in and had a question. Before you guys even hit the airwaves, wanting to know about crime, do you feel the crime has gone down, and what's the situation with regarding the police?
Yeah, I mean, I can address it, and then I'll let my colleagues pipe in. You know, if you look at historically the murder rate, right now we have a significant number of murders since January. You know, at the end of the day, if someone wants to kill someone, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to deter that. But, you know, that's just a fact of life. So the crime itself component, you know, the drug epidemic that's going on, both legal and illegal drugs. I think the police, the men and women that put their lives on the line to make the city safe, they're doing an admirable job on that. The little snafu relative to a police chief, we do have an interim police chief, Bob Hayden, a distinguished career in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, but he is not a permanent chief. He's being allotted on 60-day terms by the mayor under Mass General Law. And at the end of the day, the mayor's committed that it would be for 1 year, and then they're going to go in a different direction for a full-time permanent chief. So hopefully that, you know, answers the question that was brought forward.
So would you say it's better without a chief? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't look at it.
No, okay.
I don't think any of us look at it to the fact that we do not have a chief. I feel we do have a chief, whether he's interim or not, or based upon his 960 hours. He's there. You know what I mean? He is there, and I feel like things are being done, and like Councilor Sullivan said, being done by the best, you know, the best women and men that we have.
But the situation is the same, because he can only work part-time still, correct?
Exactly. Because of his age, retirement from Boston, he's in a situation where he can't earn X number of dollars, and he can't work certain hours.
960 hours is the max.
And that's
he's got like an understudy, somebody who's kind of like a deputy chief.
But that's not saying, as I know a few councils try to point out, well, that means he's only working 3 or 4 hours a day. That's not true. I mean, he may be accountable for 3 or 4 hours a day, but he's probably putting in 6 or 7 hours a day, and not even, you know, those other 2 hours
are just,
that's up to whatever he's trying to do.
Go ahead.
I'm just curious. I read something the other day about the City Hall Plaza and what's going to happen there. And I'm, you know, being in the real estate business, I'm kind of curious about some of those projects I'm seeing rising out of the ground around Main Street. If one of you can tell us about those.
Well, the City Hall Plaza, I'll speak on first, and my other colleagues can pipe in. But that $4 million came from the good governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and that's how we got that money. And we made sure that we kept that money whole so that project could be done. I know some people have asked me the same thing as a councilor, that, you know, we got money problems going on in the city, but yet you're spending $4 million on a project. Well, if you go to that particular location, and I'm there quite a bit every night and during the day, it's unsafe.
I think it's one of the best things that could possibly happen for downtown Brockton. I mean, $14 million.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands it's not coming out of our budget. It was money that the good governor to us.
You know, that's in the middle of my district, Ward 5. And, you know, if we didn't grab that money, Lowell, Lawrence, Haverhill would have grabbed
the Gateway City would have grabbed it, right.
And, you know, when the state says, hey, listen, we're going to give you $4 million to to renovate the downtown park district, you say thank you very much, and you put people to work and you fix the problem.
And you do what you can with the
Absolutely.
Money. It's a great idea. When I was on the Board of Selectmen at Whitman back in the 80s, we had 90% federal funding mm-hmm. to build our sewer system, which we send over to you guys. 90%. Can you imagine 90% federal funding yeah. today?
Well, we did that with schools.
That's right. But I mean, people want to ridicule and they want to jump all over you for things. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think that $4 million is $4 million well spent for the city of Brockton and for downtown. Exactly. I think it's a great move.
Look what's going on across the street with the Enterprise.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of development going on. That's a $100 million project.
Right. It's wonderful.
I'll ask you to explain that project in a moment. I just want to let folks know who's in studio at the moment as we're speaking with Brockton City Councilors Dennis Ianneary, Bob Sullivan, who's a council president, and Dennis DiNapoli. And we've gone from talking about the city budget, where it stands as the city council will start meetings next Monday night to look at talk to different department heads and stuff like that. Yeah. And I think I want to, before I let Joe jump on this, Joe, hold on one second. I want to say where we're talking about City Hall Plaza. I don't want to kind of just shift. I did hear a few people, because when the governor did his drive-by for the groundbreaking, and it was basically kind of a drive-by, I thought it was kind of funny how, you know, you got dropped off on Crescent Street and kind of zoomed off on School Street.
Yes, yeah.
But there were a couple of people who were elected officials who I heard comments made in the crowd. It's nice to be kind of a media guy and hearing them say stuff. Oh, they could just fix it up and then spend the other money. It's a grant. It's grant money. Yeah. You can't do that, right?
Exactly. First of all, take a look at the situation itself. You have to put down a portable ramp so that our state senator can be moved from one section to the other when he comes to address people at the amphitheater. Mm. Are we outdated or what? Yeah. So I mean, it was done back in 1973 under the late David E. Crosby. I mean, come on. I understand what some people can say about it, but still, I look at it, it's not a safe situation.
Well, I think a couple of things we need to think about is Brockton was at the forefront. We adopted Chapter 40R smart growth zoning a few years ago. We did five districts within the core of the city, being the downtown Legion Parkway, and we're seeing great development. You know, WB Mason, its corporate headquarters, is still in the city of Brockton. Leo Meehan, the CEO, just did a $4 million investment to build upon that. Trinity Financial, as Dennis said, $100 million on the enterprise block. Mm-hmm. Vincente's, it's a natural expansion. Vincente's is a Cape Verdean theme market down on South Main. They've taken the old Star Market on Pleasant and Warren. Yeah. Warren Ave is
old
within
Hilo.
40R. Yeah, the old Hilo. I mean, this is significant money that's being invested in the city of Brockton. The downtown Neighborhood Health Center on Legion Parkway is doing an annex expansion again on Pleasant Street. So, you know, for those that say, you know, Brockton is starting to do some really positive things, and we're going to continue to do that with the leadership that's in place. And again, we have to make hard, tough decisions, but for the benefit of the city of Brockton.
Joe?
Well, that was, you know, one of my questions was going to be, it's great to see some residential development going on in the city, but it's important to make sure that your corporate and commercial taxes coming into the city as well. And you just addressed all those, the great corporate and kind of commercial developments going on in the city. So I'd like to take just a step back, if you don't mind, a second of public safety, just for one second.
Sure.
Overall, I mean, do you think that crime, that due to that, I guess the chief, Hayden, has brought some of those great resources that he has available to him to the city, and do you think that that has made a substantial and noticeable impact in the last 6 months that he's been in the city of Brockton?
Joe, I'll tell you, we're very fortunate to have the Plymouth County DA's office located in Brockton. It could be anywhere in Plymouth County, but it chooses in Tim Cruz, and we're not on the same party. He's a Republican, I'm a Democrat, but at the end of the day, he's a good man that does some really good things, and Brockton benefits. And not just Chief Hayden, Chief Gomes, and Chief Conlon, they worked in collaboration with the FBI, the DEA, with ACE, with the Stateies. The state police are always in the city of Brockton. So there is a collaborative approach. So I'm not going to say it's any one specific chief, and again, my colleagues can pipe in, but there is some positive law enforcement deterrence that's being done in the city of Brockton. I mean, if you drive through the city of Brockton right now, Belmont Street is the new Main Street, right? Route 123. There's a good chance you're going to see a cruiser or traffic safety, and you'll get pulled over if you're speeding. So I think there's some good things happening right now. Unfortunately, crime is there, but crime's everywhere. It's not just Brockton. It's any neighboring community.
Sure. I agree with the council president, because I think, you know, since Chief Hayden's come in to be the interim, I think it's moved some morale in a different way, especially with a patrolman that worked during the day. I think he's that was one of his games, is to get the police officers, male and female, out there to work the streets in a little different manner than the way it was worked previous. And nothing against any of our other chiefs, because I think they all did an outstanding job.
Well, we served with one of them.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Sits right next to me. Yeah, keeps me going, I'm telling you. But in any case, the way I also look at it as a public official, and I've been doing it for a good many years, is crime's always going to be there in some such way. You're always going to be dealing with public safety every single day. It's something you deal with consistently. I mean, the newspaper articles haven't changed from what I read 10 or 15 years ago under another mayor or another chief of police. It just is what it is in some points. In some way, you can't control. Unfortunately, you couldn't control the situation that happened in my ward just a few weeks ago of a mother, leaving four children behind, and all of a sudden they come home and find her, deceased in a hallway. How do you stop that? You know what I mean? How do you stop the domestic violence? How do you stop what happens behind closed doors? You can't. You just can't. And those things unfortunately happen. But they're out there working it every single day, and I think that's what's most important. And we as counselors, we're a part of it as well. We make sure we keep our wards, and he serves as counselor at large, and he's got seven wards really to look at, and we're working it every day with them. And I just think that things have changed, but you're still always going to have something there.
I'll chime in too with my colleagues that the new chief went out and leased, I believe,
six
motorcycles, and they're very, very visible out there right now. And with the summer coming on, I believe you're going to see more of the sheriffs and the state police involved in the city. The city has changed in the years. And crime is everywhere. It's just not in our city. I mean, the domestic violence. I mean, look what's happened all around the communities and everywhere. Every state in the union has problems. And now, the school department, I just found out today, is implementing a fingerprint program for all the employees. I just found that out today. I guess it's a national program. And we have public safety on all issues for any city council or any selectman is number one. You have to have police, you have to have fire. And that's the most important.
That's right.
And you have to pay for those items. And you have to find the money to support them.
Like I've always said, the city of Brockton, it's an urban city. You can't work against it, you have to work with it. And that's the way I've always looked at it. And unfortunately, in some of these cases, it's some of the same nationalities working against each other, causing their problems amongst themselves, which sometimes, how do you stop that? You just don't. But again, I mean, they're out there doing what they have to do every single day, and I give them credit for what they are doing.
I got to ask, has the gang element in the city changed over the past 10, 15, 20 years? Is it thriving more so?
What I can say, Kevin, first of all, being a city council is an honor and a privilege, but my biggest thing is being a husband and a father of three kids, 7, 4, and 2. Born and raised in the city of Brockton, married a Brockton gal, not leaving. I'm here. So Brockton might get a bad rap in the paper or on TV, but at the end of the day, it's home. It's the community. It's where I live. When I grew up in Brockton, I graduated class in 1988 at Brockton High. We got in a fist fight. You didn't see someone.
Oh, it's a different time, though.
Well, you didn't see someone pull a gun out and blow your head off.
It's a different time.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, when you're talking about gangs, if you ask police or law enforcement, my brother-in-law is an FBI agent. If you ask them, there are different gangs that exist in different areas in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and unfortunately, that's just the way it is. So you have to minimize, and you have to go after them. You have to be really aggressive. And I know Brockton PD is doing that, and they're going to continue to do that, because you don't put a price tag on health and safety.
Right. Well, I thought I would ask where the counselor in area was talking about the different cultures. With different cultures, you do have a gang element. And just curious as to where things, how things are. I know that the mayor and the interim chief right now have tried to do different things to try to curb some of that. I know they got like a top 50 that they're trying to take off the streets.
Right.
Just wanted to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea that they did come up with that fact and looking at, you know, who are the top 50, and we're going to go out there and do what we can to get those 50 off the street. The sad feature is when you take the 50 off, they're not off long, because when they go through the court system, they get slapped in the hand and go home and be a good boy to mommy or daddy. And then what do you have again? Same thing happens all over again. Seriously. I mean, but that's what they're trying to do. And
like
hopefully
the system
we can
is working against you.
Hopefully they can conquer that. Let's hope that they can conquer it and keep conquering it.
Anything else we want to touch upon in the next minute or two while we still have you here? Well, I want to thank you guys for coming in. I want to kind of keep especially the council president. I know we've invited you to come in, you know, once a month to kind of...
Absolutely.
When you're not tending to business on Monday nights. Again, this Monday that you're... You don't have anything going on.
Oh, and then you're going to have the future president right here next year. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, are you going in as president?
So, let's keep up the conversation.
As long as he stays with me.
Yeah.
Not that we're counting votes, but...
He can wear the hat.
He can wear the hat.
Absolutely.
Fridays.
Well, thank you for having us on, and we'll be on it again after the budget. Absolutely, Kevin.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
We will step aside, and again, we thank all the Brockton City Councilors who were here this evening and enjoying some of McGuigan's pub cuisine.
Yeah, the next time, will you please?
Pub,
for God's sake.
We will step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you.